a classic story by H.G. Wells, retold for radio by Leslie McFarlane, with production and direction by Fred Diehl. Featured are Henry Comer as Mr. Cave, Jill Showell as Mrs. Cave, and Essa W. Young as Jacoby Vassi. In The Crystal Egg by H.G. Wells, now on Sunday Theater.
Ladies and gentlemen, permit me to introduce myself. My name is Jacoby Vase, and I am an assistant demonstrator at St. Catherine's Hospital. My occupation, however, has merely an incidental connection with the matter at hand, and this affair doesn't concern the hospital in any way. What it does concern is a missing piece of crystal worked into the shape of an egg and brilliantly polished. A few weeks ago, this crystal might have been seen in a window of a little shop near Seven Dials, a shop owned by my friend Mr. Cave, who described himself as a naturalist and a dealer in antiquities. The other contents of the window were curiously varied. Some elephant tusks, two skulls of tigers and one human, several moth-eaten stuffed monkeys, a fly-blown ostrich egg or two, and a fish tank. It was the crystal which attracted the attention of two men who appeared in front of the window one morning. These men, in turn, attracted the attention of Mrs. Cave, who was inside the shop with her husband.
Who's them two?
I've never seen them before.
The tall, thin one, he's a clergyman. And that other, the one with the black beard, he looks like a Hindu.
They seem to be interested in the crystal.
Maybe they'll buy it. It's a useless bit of junk, but you never can tell. They're coming in.
Good morning. My friend and I were looking at the crystal in the window. What is the price?
That crystal? £5.
£5?
Oh, no, that's much too high. £5 is my price.
It is all right, Mr. Parker. Give him £5.
That's a lot of money. However, if you say so.
Don't bother. As a matter of fact, the crystal isn't entirely free for sale.
Charles!
Not free for sale? Then why didn't you say so?
You said £5.
Well, I just remembered. Another purchaser, there's someone else interested.
In that case, let's forget it.
Just a minute, gentlemen. That crystal is for sale, and £5 is a good enough price. I can't think what you're about, Charles, not to take the gentleman's offer.
I have a right to run my own business.
It's my business as well as yours, and I say £5 is a good price.
Very well. We'll give you £5.
I tell you, I can't sell it. I promised to hold it.
You didn't tell me anything about it. When did this happen?
It happened this morning.
Who are you holding it for?
A customer.
I didn't see any customer. When was he here?
A few minutes after I opened the store.
What was his name?
I don't know. He didn't leave his name.
Then he won't be back. Take the £5 and give the gentleman the crystal.
I said I'm not free to sell it.
Oh, you're not the most exhausting.
It seems clear that we are getting nowhere. If I may make a suggestion, to be fair to this other party, perhaps we should give him a little time. Let us say 2 days.
Very well. 2 days.
Charles, you're a fool. Sell it now.
No. We shall wait.
2 days. Good morning.
You're a fine one. What's the matter with you?
Nothing the matter with me.
That worthless chunk of glass that's been sitting in the window for a month. You must be out of your mind.
It isn't worthless. It ought to bring 10 guineas at least.
Who's going to offer 10 guineas?
The other customer.
You're lying. There is no other customer. I declare, I simply don't understand what you're up to. Throwing £5 out of the window. I could have bought a new dress. I could have had a trip to Richmond.
Oh, my dear.
Don't you, my dear me. Oh, I'm so upset. I'm going upstairs to lie down. And you can get your own dinner.
Next day, Mr. Cave had to deliver a consignment of dogfish to one of the hospital schools where the dogfish were needed for dissection. This business of supplying specimens to the hospital laboratories was actually the major source of Cave's income, because certainly the shop returned very little profit. He left the store carrying the dogfish in a sack, and he was away for a long time. When he returned late that afternoon, he found the store in some confusion, and his wife on her knees behind the counter, rooting among his taxidermic material. Her face came up hot and angry over the counter.
Where did you hide it?
Hide what?
You know what I mean. That piece of crystal.
Well, I left it right here in the... Oh, good heavens. It's gone. What's become of it?
You hid it. That's what's become of it.
Why should I hide it?
That's what I'd like to know. What did you do with it?
I haven't been here all afternoon. I've been over at the hospital.
Charles, I'm at the end of my patience. That crystal is worth £5. And for some stupid reason, you didn't want to part with it. Just last week, I found it in the desk in your workroom after you'd been up half the night. Now, I want to know what you've done with it.
I haven't done anything with it. Well, someone must have slipped into the store and taken it out of the window.
If anyone came into the store, I would have known it. What did you do with that crystal?
I tell you, I didn't do anything with it. I'm as much in the dark as you are.
You're lying. I think you sneaked it out of here and sold it and pocketed the money. Money that belongs to both of us.
Oh, that's ridiculous. It must be around somewhere. Maybe you took it out of the window and set it down somewhere and forgot where you left it.
I didn't take it out of the window. I've remembered. You took it out of the window.
Oh, it must be somewhere. Let's make a thorough search.
I've looked everywhere. It isn't here. And you know where it is.
Oh, I give you my affidavit. And don't yell at me. How do I know you didn't sell it yourself and hide the money away?
You accuse me? You think that I... Oh, this is too much.
The discussion ended for Mrs. Cave in a peculiar nervous condition. Midway between hysterics and amok. I have no doubt she gave her husband a very bad time. And next day, when the clergyman and a young Hindu returned...
As you see, we've come back. I hope the crystal hasn't been sold.
No, sir. It hasn't been sold.
In that case, we'll be glad to pay the £5.
I'm sorry, the crystal isn't here.
But if it hasn't been sold, then...
It's lost.
Lost? Oh, come now.
Just simply disappeared. And I've counted so much on that £5.
Do you mean it was misplaced? Or stolen?
We don't know what happened to it. Yesterday morning it was in the window.
And then it just vanished. We don't know what happened to it. Oh, I feel just awful. And I wish we'd sold it to you when you made the offer. But my husband is such a fool.
We did have another customer.
Well, I suppose there's nothing more to be said. We may as well take our leave.
Will you give this your address? And then, if the crystal turns up, I can let you know.
Of course. Here is my card. There you are.
Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Goodbye.
There goes £5 walking right out that door. And I still think you know what happened to that crystal.
For the hundredth time, I haven't the faintest idea where it is.
Now, without mincing the matter, I must admit that Mr. Cave was lying. He had been lying all along. He knew perfectly well where the crystal was. It was in my study, on the sideboard, partially covered by a black velvet cloth. Mr. Cave had taken the thing to the hospital, hidden in a dogfish sack. I was one of Mr. Cave's very few friends, and he called on me that afternoon.
What can I do for you?
Well, I came to ask you a favor. I have something here in this bag. I'd like to leave it here for a while, if I may. As you see, it's a piece of crystal.
A crystal egg. It's beautiful. But why leave it here?
Two men want to buy it, a clergyman and a young Hindu gentleman. And my wife is very upset because I don't want to sell it. There They're offering £5.
It seems a fair price for a piece of crystal.
Mr. Mace, I wouldn't part with that crystal at any price.
Oh, for heaven's sake, why?
I see visions in it.
Visions? Are you serious?
Oh, I am indeed. Let me show you something. I brought along this blue velvet cloth. It comes from the shop where I once used it as a background to the mineral collection. Now then, will you be good enough to draw the curtains?
Very well.
Now, if you'll sit down at the table and hold the crystal in the bowl of your hands. Now then, I'll cover your head with the cloth so that you'll be looking at the crystal in the darkness. Do you see anything?
Nothing at all.
Well, your eyes haven't adjusted to the darkness yet. If you'll give yourself a little time.
Yes. Oh, yes. There's a faint glow. Oh,
good. It should get stronger.
Oh, it is. It is getting much stronger. Why, the thing is phosphorescent.
Keep looking directly at it. Tell me what you see.
The light seems to be rising inside the egg. It's like looking into a hollow sphere or some luminous vapor.
Is it assuming any shape, anything recognizable?
No. It's like smoke or some kind of gas.
Oh, well, I'll remove the cloth now.
It isn't glowing anymore.
No, in an ordinary everyday light, it's merely an ordinary everyday piece of crystal.
And what did you mean by seeing visions?
That crystal came into my possession along with some other oddments as a forced sale of another curiosity dealer's effects.
Hmm?
Well, I'd no idea that it had any special properties. As a matter of fact, I thought I'd be lucky to get 10 shillings for it. Well, it hung on my hands at that price for several months, and I was thinking of reducing the figure when I made a singular discovery. About 3 o'clock one morning, I happened to go into the shop. Well, it was very dark, except in one spot where I could see an unusual glow of light.
The egg?
The crystal egg. You see, there was a ray of light slanting through a window shutter. And when this ray of light fell upon the egg, it seemed that this light began to writhe inside the substance of the crystal. So after that, I used to come down every night and gaze at the egg, turn it round in my hands. And then, early one morning, I happened to turn it at a certain angle, and suddenly I saw something.
Something?
It came and went in a flash. But just for a moment, I had the impression that the egg opened up to me a view of a strange countryside.
A countryside?
It was nothing I'd ever seen before. And I didn't see it again until the next night. And I discovered that if I peered into the crystal at an angle of about 137 degrees from the direction of the illuminating ray, the picture could be seen again. And there was movement in it.
What sort of movement?
Objects. Strange objects. Moving slowly, but in an orderly manner, like real things. Oh, but there's no use trying to describe them. You'll have to see for yourself.
But when I looked into the crystal, I could see nothing but that smoky light.
Will you be free tonight?
Yes, I'll be here.
Supposing I return after dark. Perhaps we can manage to set up the proper conditions. It takes complete darkness and a very narrow ray of light.
Very well, Mr. Cable. I'll be expecting you. That evening, I went to considerable trouble to prepare for Mr. Cave's visit. There's a street lamp outside my study window, and I arranged the curtains so that a narrow beam of light from this lamp would penetrate the room, which was otherwise in darkness.
This is excellent. Keep turning it. Do you see anything?
Just the cloudy phosphorescence.
Well, it takes patience.
There. It's very clear and sharp.
Well, I won't suggest anything to you, but tell me, what do you see?
I seem to be looking at a great plain or meadow. And I seem to be looking at it from a considerable height, as if from a tower or mast.
Good. What else?
Cave, I find this unbelievable. Away off to the east and also to the west, a long distance away, the plain seem to be bounded by cliffs.
Perhaps mountains.
Oh, they're very steep and reddish in color.
and they extend away off to the north.
What time of day do you judge it to be?
Well, it isn't night, though the part of the plain is in shadows. Seems to be around dawn, because there is a crimson glow beyond the cliffs. It's becoming much stronger.
Like a sunrise?
It is a sunrise. Oh, there is the sun. I can see things moving.
Things?
Great soaring shapes. Hundreds of them. They look like birds.
Now, can you see anything towards the bottom of the picture? It may be a little blurred.
Good Lord, Cave. Buildings.
You're sure?
Yes, a vast range of buildings. They're very strange buildings that are spread out below me. I seem to be looking down on them. And as you say, they become indistinct toward the bottom of the crystal, but they do look like buildings. Ah, now I can see trees. Very curious in shape, but they must be trees. And then over there, something wide and shiny.
Great Scott, what happened?
Something flew into the picture, something huge and brilliantly colored. I was so startled that the egg almost slipped out of my hands. Oh, now I have lost the image altogether. The plain, the red cliffs, the sunrise, the trees, the buildings, they're all gone.
Well, we may as well turn on the lights. That'll be enough for this evening.
But I can keep trying.
Well, once the picture's lost, it's very difficult to find it again. I've never been able to hold it longer than a couple of minutes at a time.
You have seen the same landscape?
Oh, yes. I've seen other things, too. Very remarkable things.
And what is your conclusion?
My conclusion, Mr. Bass. I believe that crystal egg has the power to reveal things never before seen by man. It holds the view of another world.
Was it actually, as he surmised, another world? Or was it, as I caution him, perhaps merely some kind of mirage, some trick of light refraction that conveyed to us the image of some distant landscape on the surface of our own earth? We decided to keep records and make detailed notes.
Mr. Rice, this is very strange.
Yes?
The perspective has changed.
In what way?
I seem to be looking down the valley from the same spot, but in a different direction. Instead of looking down on the roof of one of the great buildings, I can see the front of it now from some distance away. See for yourself.
And there is a great terrace in front of the building.
Down the middle of the terrace. Do you see those high masts?
Masts or poles of some kind. They're very huge, but very graceful.
With some small shiny objects at the top.
And now below the terrace, I can see a wide lawn with... Cave. There are creatures on that lawn. Like beetles, but much, much larger. And they aren't moving. And beyond them, I see a crossbow, a pink stone, and a broad expanse of water.
It seems to be lined with dense red weeds, and it goes up the valley parallel with the cliffs.
And beyond the river,
if it is a river,
a multitude of splendid buildings, very richly colored, and glittering with metallic tracery. And the air seems full of birds,
squadrons of them, wheeling and curving.
Ladies and gentlemen, I could see those flocks of birds very clearly. And then suddenly something flapped repeatedly across the vision, like the fluttering of a jeweled fan or the beating of a wing. And a face, or rather the upper part of a face, with very large eyes, came, as it were, close to my own and on the other side of the crystal. I was so startled and so impressed by the absolute reality of those eyes that I drew my head back from the crystal to look behind it. And as I blinked, the glowing crystal faded and went out. That ended our conversations for the time, but on the following night we resumed our studies. As it turned out, for the last time.
And now the landscape is becoming clearer. The broad valley, the gardens, The great buildings.
Can you see the bird-like creatures?
Oh, yes. Many of them.
Do you think they are birds?
Inasmuch as they can fly. But they're creatures. And their faces aren't the faces of birds. When I first saw them in my own shop, I thought they might be some diurnal species of bat. And then, when I saw their faces more clearly, I thought, well, this is grotesque.
You thought what?
You see, that their heads are round and curiously human. So I thought they might be cherubs.
Cherubs?
Well, it's absurd, of course, but the thought did cross my mind. Look, I can see several of them now. Tell me how they appear to you.
They have broad, silvery wings.
But not feathered.
No, not feathered.
A sort of butterfly wing with curved ribs.
I noticed something odd about those great buildings. They have no doors.
That's right. Just the huge circular windows.
Oh, I can see one of the creatures approaching a window now. He's folding his wings. Now they look almost like thin rods. And he's hopping through the window into the building.
So I have a feeling that these creatures own the buildings.
Just a minute. Along the causeway by the canal, there is something advancing with extraordinary rapidity.
One of the creatures?
No, much, much larger. It's a mechanism of some kind.
A machine?
Like no machine I ever saw before. Oh, it's gone.
Can you see the masts?
Oh, yes, yes. Each with its glittering crystal, just like our own. Now I can see one of the creatures fluttering up to one of the masts. It folds its wings, coils its tentacles around the mast. Now it stares fixedly into the crystal.
There's a relationship, Mr. Ace. Either my crystal is in two worlds at once, or it has some peculiar relation or sympathy with another and exactly similar crystal in that other world.
So that what is seen by the crystal in the other world is visible to us in our crystal here.
But what is that other world?
Another planet, Mr. Cave. Another planet millions of miles away. Now that, ladies and gentlemen, was our explanation. And to me it seems plausible. But you will want to know what happened next. Mr. Cave took the crystal back home with him. When he didn't show up in 10 days, I became a little anxious. And I went to Mr. Cave's shop in Seven Dials. It was closed.
Yes?
Mrs. Cave?
That's right.
You're in mourning, Mrs. Cave. Has something happened?
My husband. He died about a week ago.
Died? I'm shocked to hear it, Mrs. Cave.
I found him dead in his workshop early one morning. There was a blue velvet cloth lying at his feet and a crystal in his hands. A crystal I thought was lost.
Indeed. If you'll excuse
my... It isn't here, if that's what you want to know. There was a clergyman. He once offered £5 for it, but I lost his address. So another dealer offered to take over the stock. Man named Smith, on Great Portland Street.
Yes, sir? What can I do for you?
Mr. Smith, I understand that you took over the stock of Mr. Cave's shop at Seven Dials.
Aye, it was a lot of rubbish.
It seems to me I recall a piece of crystal.
Oh, that, aye. Like an egg.
Do you have it now?
I sold it. Tall, dark chap in grey.
Tall, dark man in grey. Was he a clergyman?
Not this chap. Wore his collar right side foremost, he did. Why? Was there something special about that piece of crystal?
Yes. Yes, there was. Something very special indeed. Since that time, I have been engaged in very diligent search. I have placed advertisements in the journals that collectors read. I made inquiries of the various dealers. I've even placed advertisements in the first columns of the newspapers. These have had one curious result.
Mr. Vase?
Yes?
I'm the Reverend James Parker.
Oh, how do you do?
This is my young friend, the Prince of Boscuni in Jave.
Oh, an honor indeed.
Your mind's settled.
A friend of ours, a dealer, passed along word that you were looking for us.
That's right. I thought you could enlighten me about your interest in a piece of crystal.
No, the crystal egg. Ah, yes. But there was no interest. Merely idle curiosity.
But you offered £5 for it.
I am an extravagant man. I became eager to buy, merely because Mr. Cave was so oddly reluctant to sell.
And that was all?
That was all.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. The crystal egg remains undiscovered. And I am making this one last effort before abandoning my search. For all I know, the crystal egg may, at the present moment, be within a mile of me. Decorating a mantelpiece or serving as a paperweight. Its remarkable functions all unknown. I believe the crystal on top of one of those masts on that other planet, and Mr. Cave's crystal egg to be in some physical way Angapo. I also believe that the terrestrial crystal must have been sent hither from that other planet to give the people of that planet a nearer view of our affairs. So whoever has the crystal egg, if you are listening to me now, I appeal to you, not for myself, but in the interests of science and human knowledge. Come forward and return it to science and to the world.
Crystal Egg, H.G. Wells' short story, in radio version by Leslie McFarlane, with incidental music composed by Morris Certain. In the cast, S.E.W. Young as Jacoby Vase, Henry Comar as Mr. Cave, and Jill Showell as Mrs. Cave. Other performers, Philip White as Reverend Parker, Donald Truss as the Prince, and Michael Rhodes as Mr. Smith. Sound, special effects, and technical operation by Bill Hedemark, Ken McCarker, and Ralph Thurn. The Crystal Egg was produced and directed by Fred Diehl from the CBC's Calgary studios.